Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, May 9th, and coming up in today's episode, India neutralizes an infiltration attempt by terrorists as Operation Sindoor continues. Supreme Court overturns Delhi High Court order to delete Wikipedia page on ANI defamation case. IPL suspended indefinitely and PSL shifted abroad as India-Pakistan conflict continues, and as Vatican elects a new pope, his old criticism of Trump and Vance resurfaces. 7 terrorists killed, civilians evacuation, and securing skies, India's ongoing Operation Sindoor. The Indian Border Security Force, or BSF, has confirmed 7 terrorists were killed during an infiltration attempt along the international border in the Samba sector of Jammu and Kashmir. The attempted incursion occurred during the intervening night of 8th and 9th May. Meanwhile, Senior Superintendent of Police, or SSP Poonch, Shafkat Hussain JKPS, visited the forward border area of Khari Karmara in the Poonch district. The visit was a part of swift and coordinated response to emerging security concerns in the region. Accompanied by other senior police and civil officers, SSP Poonch supervised the evacuation of residents from the vulnerable border village. The evacuation was carried out smoothly and efficiently according to the release, ensuring the safety and well-being of the civilian population. Remember, around 16 were killed and 44 were injured by Pakistan's incessant artillery shelling in the same district over this week in the last 2 days. Coming back to the infiltration attempt, according to the BSF, the group of armed militants was detected by the surveillance grid while trying to cross into the Indian territory. Quote, alert troops of BSF neutralized the infiltration bid, killing at least 7 terrorists and causing extensive damage to Pak Post Dandar, unquote. The force said in an official statement, and the BSF also released a video footage of that Pakistani post being destroyed in a strike. The infiltration was reportedly facilitated by covering fire from Pakistan Rangers stationed at the Dandar post. The Indian response led to significant damage to the Pakistani military installation. This incident follows a wave of aerial attacks on Indian territory, military bases in Jammu, Pathankot and Udhampur, as well as cities in Rajasthan, Gujarat and Punjab, were targeted by drones and missiles. All incoming threats were intercepted and neutralized by India's air defense systems. No casualties or any damage of any sort was reported from the Indian side. The Indian Air Force repelled 2 waves of drone and missile attacks launched from across the border. The first wave began late on 7th of May, shortly after India conducted Operation Sindoor, targeting 9 terror camps in Pakistan and Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. During these attacks, air defenses were activated in or near 15 Indian cities. Integrated systems, including the Israeli-made Harpy drones and the indigenous Akash missile defense system, successfully intercepted and neutralized all incoming threats. Sources told NDTV that a China-supplied HQ-9 air defense unit in Lahore was disabled during the first wave of attack. In response to the cross-border aggression, civil administrations in cities near the border, including Jammu and Kashmir, enforced overnight blackouts. In Chandigarh, air raid sirens were sounded and residents were warned of a possible aerial attack. At least 24 airports across the region were temporarily shut as a precautionary measure. India's airspace remains secured by a multi-layered defense network that includes the Russian-made S-400 systems. The Indian government had ordered 5 of these units in 2018 at the cost of 35,000 crore rupees. 3 have been delivered so far, with the remaining 2 expected by 2026. The Supreme Court of India has reversed a previous Delhi High Court judgment which had ordered the removal of a Wikipedia page which detailed the ongoing defamation proceedings between news agency ANI, Asian News International, and Wikimedia Foundation, which controls the Wikipedia. A two-judge bench comprising Justice Abhay S. Oka and Justice Ujjal Bhuiyan delivered the judgment, stressing that judicial processes are inherently public and media coverage of such matters should not be restricted without strong justification, meaning that the court refuses to intervene in freedom of press and it cannot order the takedown of any media article without a real threat. Justice Bhuiyan, reading from the ruling, remarked, and I quote, "It is not the responsibility of the court to instruct the media on what content to remove. Both the judiciary and the press are essential components of a democratic framework. Each should reinforce the other for a democracy to flourish," unquote. The disputed Wikipedia page had included information about a defamation suit filed by ANI. In that suit, ANI had alleged that content on Wikipedia entry was defamatory and portrayed the agency as aligned with government propaganda. ANI claimed that the article falsely suggested the agency was involved in distributing misinformation via a network of fake news sites. The Delhi High Court had earlier concluded that the publication could interfere with judicial proceedings and described it as potentially contemptuous. On that basis, it directed the Wikimedia Foundation to take down the page. However, the Supreme Court rejected this view. It noted that public engagement and open discussion, even concerning matters before the courts, are fundamental in a democratic society. The judgment stated, and I quote, "Courts should be open to scrutiny and dialogue." It also added that freedom of the press and judicial independence must function together. The bench underlined that while judges cannot directly respond to criticism, such feedback, when constructive, should not be silenced. It further observed that legal action is justified only in cases where published content meets the threshold for contempt. The court reiterated that public institutions must be subject to debate and evaluation, including when matters are under litigation. It concluded that the earlier High Court directive was overly broad and not enforceable in a practical sense. The Indian Premier League, or IPL, has been suspended indefinitely due to rising military tensions, due to the rising tensions between India and Pakistan. The Board of Cricket Control of India, BCCI, confirmed on Friday. The decision follows heightened security concerns and air raid alerts in several northern Indian cities. A senior BCCI official told news agency PTI, and I'm quoting from that report, "It does not look nice that cricket goes on while the country is at war," unquote. Underscoring the sentiment behind the suspension of the world's most lucrative cricket tournament. The IPL, originally scheduled to conclude on May 25th in Kolkata, will now remain on hold until further notice. Uncertainty had already loomed over the tournament after Thursday's match between Punjab Kings and Delhi Capitals in Dharamshala was abandoned midway due to emergency alerts in nearby Jammu and Pathankot. Remember last night, visuals of drones flying over the city of Jammu had flooded social media and air raid sirens were ringing throughout the city. Several districts in Punjab and Union Territory of Chandigarh were also placed under blackout amid air raid sirens and reports of explosion-like sounds in Jammu. According to BCCI sources, 12 league matches and 4 playoff fixtures remain to be played. While the board intends to resume the tournament at a suitable time, no new schedule has been announced so far. The last time the IPL faced such a disruption was in 2021, when the tournament was halted mid-season due to COVID-19 outbreaks and later resumed in the UAE, or United Arab Emirates, in a controlled environment. The conflict's impact has been felt internationally as well. On Friday morning, Pakistan's cricket board announced that its own premier competition, the Pakistan Super League or PSL, will be moved to UAE following Indian airstrikes in Lahore and Rawalpindi. Foreign players in the IPL have expressed concern over the developing situation. 62 overseas cricketers were signed by the 10 franchisees during last year's mega auction. Teams are now arranging for their safe return. An IPL franchisee official said, and I quote, "The players are doing well, but of course there is concern among them after seeing all that has happened." The Lucknow Super Giants vs. Royal Challengers Bengaluru match, scheduled for this evening, also stands cancelled, of course, LSG posted on social media Nation First in response to the league's suspension. Cricket Australia and New Zealand Players Association have both said they are monitoring developments closely. Indian captain Virat Kohli, meanwhile, posted on Instagram and expressed support for the armed forces, writing, "We stand in solidarity with and salute our armed forces, forever indebted to our heroes." Cardinal Robert Prevost, Cardinal till yesterday, a veteran missionary with decades of experience in Latin America, has been elected as the new leader of the Roman Catholic Church. The 69-year-old from Chicago becomes the first American in history to ascend the papacy and will be known as Pope Leo XIV. However, despite his own accomplishments, he is also making headlines for other reasons. Most importantly, his criticism of American President Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. On Thursday, after the traditional appearance of white smoke rising from Sistine Chapel chimney, a signal that the College of Cardinals had reached a decision regarding the new Pope, Pope Leo had appeared on the central balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, offering his first blessing to a cheering crowd in St. Peter's Square. "Peace be with you all," he declared in his initial address, and paid tribute to Pope Francis, who passed away last month and was his predecessor. Quote, "We still hear in our hearts the weak, but always courageous voice of Pope Francis, who blessed us." Prior to his election, then-Cardinal Prevost had made headlines for publicly sharing criticism of U.S. political leaders on social media, particularly those concerning immigration policy. In February, he reposted an article on X arguing that U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance had misused Catholic doctrine to defend government's decision to cut foreign aid. The Vatican confirmed on Thursday that the account sharing the article indeed belonged to Prevost. One post cited a headline reading, and I quote, "J.D. Vance is wrong. Jesus doesn't ask us to rank our love for others," unquote, challenging Vance's reference to the medieval theological idea of Ardo Amoris or the order of love. In February, the then cardinal had said it was wrong in an attempt to show support to Washington's cancellation of foreign aid. The article took issue with Vance, who converted to Catholicism in 2019 and argued that Christians should love their family first before prioritizing the rest of the world. Quote, "J.D. Vance is wrong. Jesus does not ask us to rank our love for others," unquote, said the headline reposted on Prevost's account, along with a link to the story by the National Catholic Reporter. After becoming vice president, Vance justified the cancellation of nearly all U.S. foreign assistance by quoting 12th century theologian Thomas Aquinas' concept of Ordos Amoris, or Order of Love. The late Pope Francis, in a letter soon afterward to U.S. bishops, said, "True Ordo Amoris involved building a fraternity open to all without exception." A few days later, Prevost posted the headline and link of another article about Vance's doctrinal arguments, which referred to Francis's criticism of Trump's mass deportations of migrants. Another repost by Prevost criticized the deportation of a migrant under the Trump administration, questioning the morality behind such actions and calling attention to human suffering. His final post before being elected pontiff similarly condemned policies affecting vulnerable migrant communities. Despite the past criticisms, both President Donald Trump and Vice President Vance publicly congratulated Pope Leo XIV on his election. "May God bless him," Vance wrote, adding that millions of American Catholics will be praying for his success. Trump, referencing the historic nature of his election, said it was a great honor for our country, as he is the first American pontiff to be elected. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.